Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
This is an historic time.
This could be the next 1918 pandemic.
Why is it taking so long to get a screening test?
Are you isolating yourself?
Who do you count on?
It's actually to protect you.
Wash hands, wash hands, wash hands.
I mean, you're the scientist. You're going to have to tell me.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome to Science Rules, Coronavirus Edition. I'm your host, Bill Nye, and this is our special series in which we bring you the latest analysis and the science of this pandemic to keep you informed, prepared, and calm. We're all in this together, my friends. As of yesterday, globally, we just passed 1 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 and more than 51,000 deaths. 4,500 of those, almost 10% of those deaths, have been in the U.S. The University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the IHME, which you might see on a lot of these graphs, now projects 94,000 deaths in the U.S. just during the first wave of infection happening this spring and summer. We're taking a hard hit here in the U.S. to our health, but also to our economy. As of the end of March, a record 6.6 million U.S. workers filed for their first week of unemployment benefits. Congress just passed a $2 trillion booster package, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, CARES. It's the biggest stimulus package in U.S. history, my friends. But will it work? Will it be enough? Will it stimulate? That's why today we're talking with Annie Lowry. Annie's a journalist who writes on politics and economic policy for The Atlantic. Previously, she covered economic policy for The New York Times, and she has written a book called Give People Money. Welcome to Science Rules, Annie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you're an expert on this. I mean, we figure, looking around, the economy is pretty much shut down. I mean, how much is shut down? Are we really officially in a recession?
It's actually interesting. There is a committee that decides when we are in a recession and when we aren't. And generally, we think about naming a soft patch or a slowdown as actually officially becoming a recession when it's been extended over half a year, about 6 months of decline in activity. What we are in right now is, by anybody's understanding, certainly a recession and an extremely severe one at that. We've not officially said that we are in one yet. But even if this doesn't last for 6 months and we see a rebound in activity, people expect that this will be named a recession officially because it's so severe.
So here's just a question. Is there some way we could keep the lights on, keep the water running, keep the internet working, and just sort of freeze everything? Tenants manage, landlords just chill. We're just going to not worry about anything for a few months and then pay bills, pay each other's bills in 3 or 4 months from now, or 6 months from now. What, is that such a thing possible? I mean, do we always have to be growing the economy, grow the economy? Do we always have to do that?
I think that what you are describing is what governments around the world are trying to do with varying rates of success. So a really central part of that $2.2 trillion bill that passed Congress was something that they're doing for payroll protection. They're saying to small and medium enterprises, if you keep your workers on payroll, we will give you a loan that will turn into a grant, right? So free money from the government if you maintain your payrolls. You know, Congress sent $1,200 checks to a large chunk of Americans, pretty much everybody up to the point of kind of middle to high income families will get one. We've expanded unemployment insurance payments, and you don't need to formally lose your job to get those. You can also be furloughed or have a reduction in hours. We expanded who can receive those payments. But I think we haven't been able to freeze the whole economy. We didn't have policies in place that would help us do that.
By the way, hang on a second. Where does the $1,200 per person come from?
Congress. Yeah, the Treasury.
We just start printing money?
Yeah, so we are not printing it. The government will sell bonds to cover the very, very large deficit that it will have this year.
So do I go buy bonds? Do I buy COVID bonds like in World War II?
Yeah. So public investors around the world will buy those. There's great demand for treasury debt right now because it's considered a very safe asset and everybody wants safe assets. So investors all around the world will buy government debt, and they won't be special bonds. They'll just be regular United States treasuries, of which there are trillions of dollars outstanding in the world.
I was going to say, so this is a situation where somebody in another country, Asia, somebody in Asia can own a substantial fraction of the U.S. debt. Is that right?
So a lot of it is held by the government or the various Federal Reserve banks itself. Americans hold a lot of this debt, but it's international. So yeah, other investors, other financial firms from all around the world invest in American debt.
So, okay. So what's the down and the upside of Bill's freezing question? If we just told everybody to hold on till we can open our doors again?
It's a great question. And so some other countries have done this.
What's an example?
So Italy, for instance, said that you know, during this extraordinary challenge and they're facing a really terrible public health crisis, sort of like we are, that mortgages are not going to be due. You don't have to pay your mortgage. And so we could do something like that here. We don't have policies in place to do it. And it's a little bit tricky with mortgages and rents because you have to figure out, does that just mean that everybody is going to owe 6 months of rent from now, six months later?
Yeah, right.
Does it mean
exactly
that the government is going to step in to pay it? So right now you're seeing states and cities do things like freeze evictions or put eviction moratorium up. And people are going on rent strike. So I think that we're going to see a lot of policy making around this question. But for right now, we have this pretty terrible situation in which a lot of people are losing their jobs or losing work. But as you point out, the bills are still coming and they still have to be paid.
Do they have to be paid? I mean, could you stop the whole thing, the money owed and the money paid?
I think that you could, but you would have to deal with how that would affect the financial economy and the kind of knock-on effects of that policy, right? So if everybody stops paying their mortgage, that's going to affect mortgage-backed securities. It's going to affect lenders' balance sheets. It is going to have a wealth effect where, you know, people who might be on the other side of that transaction aren't receiving that income that they expected either. So it's a hard thing to do. I think it's a possible thing to do, but it's a difficult thing to do. And we're making this up on the fly because this is happening really fast.
All right. So let me ask you this. There's a connection for sure between physical suffering and economic suffering, right?
Yeah.
Is when you're sick, you don't work. You can't work. You can't be productive. And also you need health care.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go someplace. So that's a burden on the economy. But is there a lag? Is there a time where you could just finance it? Is that what this $1,200 per person is? This is where you're going to finance it for a few months until everybody can, or enough people can get back to work.
Yeah, the idea, I think, is that the government wants to step in and become the economy while we have this kind of freeze with everything stuck in place.
Is that what happened in World War II?
Yeah, I mean, so this in a lot of ways, it doesn't look like a recession so much as it looks like a kind of wartime mobilization effort. And what tends to happen in wars, and particularly acute wars, is that the economy as we know it in some ways stops and a different economy takes over as a country reorients itself towards its own defense. And so, you know, this has elements of that. It looks somewhat like that. But again, it's a very unique situation that we have in this country, despite the fact that pandemics are not so unique, certainly not historically.
We'll be back right after this.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It took years for the United States to get involved in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
It took years for the U.S. to get involved in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But once it did, people, it just got turned up to 11, as we say. So do you predict that the United States is going to focus on making N95 masks, ventilator machines, hospital beds, drug therapies, antivirals, and antibody detection, and a vaccine ultimately? I mean, is it just going to crank like that automatically, or does it need top-down pushing? Does the government running the economy have to run those efforts?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is going to be federal spending. And, one thing that we've seen is the possibility that President Trump will basically use the power of the federal government in an emergency to take over factories to make ventilators and hospital equipment. He has not done that yet, but a number of companies have been called on to sort of switch over to things like ventilator and mask production, and that will ramp up. And I think one important thing is that, you know, that's really important and really necessary, given that we're facing these critical equipment shortfalls, which is endangering lives. But that ramp up of production is not going to be nearly enough, anywhere close to enough to make up for the loss of activity from the shelter in place and the halting of activity. The fact that everybody has really stopped moving.
How much is somebody's health affected by, for lack of a better term, worry? You know, you're unable to work either because the hotel you work at is closed, or somebody in your family's sick and you have to nurture that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just worried all the time. How much does that affect the economy? That's something that you've spent a lot of time with, right?
Quite a bit, yeah. Recessions are horrible for people's health. They are. a kind of funny sort of curious side note to that is that recessions often reduce mortality because the decline in economic activity comes with a decline in things like car crashes. But on the flip side, recessions are awful for people's mental health. They're terrible for their physical effect and terrible for their physical health. And they have even intergenerational effects. Really bad recessions kind of show up a generation later too.
Everybody who's in school right now, everybody, no matter what level of school you're in, kindergarten through grad school, you're going to talk about this the rest of your life. I couldn't go to my graduation.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I missed fourth grade. All of us missed fourth grade. No, I can't do algebra or whatever. That pick a sentence. You know, I didn't learn any history because but on the other hand, you know, as I say all the time, of course I was born in the U.S. and I'm patriotic. How to say? On the other hand, what's built in to the U.S. system is change, is adapting, is working with these things. How flexible is the U.S. economy in your estimation compared with others and compared with the past?
I would say that there is, you know, we are facing terrible choices here. There's no good options here, right? Like we need to have this recession to help contain this terrible pandemic that's killing people and making them sick. One thing I would say is kind of a silver lining or something to be grateful for, I guess is probably a better way to put it, is that the United States came into this crisis with a very strong economy. We have more financial and real resources than any other country on earth. And so we have a lot of resources to fight this. And we will probably rebound better than some other countries because of that ingenuity, that flexibility, those resources, you know, the wealth that we have. You would much rather be facing this in the United States than you would in a low-income country that doesn't have our public health infrastructure and doesn't have a treasury and a Fed that can create all of these new programs on the fly and do what they're doing.
In your opinion, Annie Lowry, when are we going to get back to normal?
I think it's going to take a very long time. It seems that until we have widespread quick testing set up and serological testing, so we know who has already had coronavirus and therefore cannot pose a risk to others, until we have that, I'm not sure that we know that we'll be able to let up with these kind of extreme shelter-in-place measures. But this is going to be a multi-year fight. And my hope would be that we would see a resumption of economic activity through the summer and the fall. But I think that, you know, it's really dependent on the virus and our capacity to fight this in health terms first.
The science. It depends on the science. And
it does.
Yeah. So if we can come up with a test, then we could identify people who were no longer at risk. They've been infected. They've got enough antibodies. And then,
exactly.
And then they would be the delivery service people. They would participate in the service industry. They would change the world.
Yep.
What do you see as a small step in this summer that indicates the economy is starting to rev up again? What would be an example of that?
I think that if you saw places that were confident that they had tests that they could identify who had COVID and thus who needed to be quarantined, and then perhaps also tests showing people who might have already had it, and then felt like they could relax those shelter-in-place measures, that you're going to start to see some economic healing at that point, and it'll probably happen in different places at different rates.
Yeah. Restaurants will open, banks, branches will open, stores will open, things will start to happen. So let me ask you this. Have we missed anything that you want to get across? And in your opinion, what's the most important thing for people to understand about COVID-19 and the economy?
Yeah, we're facing a crisis, a really terrible cataclysm. One thing that I would point to as being hopeful is that we know from past pandemics that there is a cost to trying to reopen the economy too soon. There's a really great study of the 1918 flu pandemic, which killed more than 500,000 Americans, showing that public health interventions to slow the spread or stop the spread actually helped places with their economies down the road because fewer people died and because they were able to get back to normal. The hope is that in the longer term, the healthier we can keep the country, the better we'll be able to rebound. So I would just say, you know, we are stuck with only bad choices here. And I think that we're going to try to do everything that we can to help with the pain and to help keep people healthy first. So that's what I would say is my takeaway from this legitimately traumatic and awful thing that we're all experiencing.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for your insights, your thoughts, your knowledge. This has been great. Thank you so much, Annie Lowry. Who's should we promote your book?
Sure. Yeah.
Give people money, and she's an expert on a journalist, an expert on the economy. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And before we go, we like to get a story from our listeners. People leave us voicemails in our voicemail inbox. And today we have an anonymous caller who is feeling some of the financial effects of this pandemic. Let's roll that digital recording.
Hi, Bill. I'm here to call you and let you know my experience with COVID-19. I'm a wheelchair-bound woman. I have persistent medical bills, but my doctor is swamped with COVID-19 cases. My doctor and others are being taken away from being able to help others, you know, because of this. I'm not able to get the care I need, but, you know, my dream job is on hold now. I'm a licensed helicopter pilot, and I run deliveries, I run a taxi service, and I give people tours, all for my chopper. Since this pandemic, since this global crisis, no one is hiring. This virus is taking people away from their work, from their lives, and from pursuing their dreams. And my dream job, you know, escaping this chair to the sky. Thank you for your time, Bill. Thank you, Corey. Stay safe, all right? Thank you.
Thank you, helicopter pilot. My, oh my. Hoping to live her dream sometime soon when the economy comes back. If you'd like to join the conversation, and I hope you do, leave us a voicemail about your experience with this pandemic on the phone number of 201-472-0785. That's 201-472-0785. I'm Bill Nye, and my friends, this is a serious thing. This is a pandemic. But we are all in this together, and more than ever, science rules. If you like Science Rules, please take a moment to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It helps us out, helps other people learn about the show, so thank you. Science Rules Coronavirus Edition is a production of Witness Docs from Stitcher. The show is produced by Stephanie Kariuki, Claire Rawlinson in Australia, and Corey S. Powell. Our editor is Tracy Samuelson. Our engineer is Luz Fleming, who also mixed this episode. Peter Clowning is our executive producer. Special thanks again to Casey Halford. Chris Bannon is the chief content officer at Stitcher. And at Stitcher, science rules.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.